Chapter 3. Realizations. "Where's your mark?" Nami asked, leaning over the railing of her stolen ship and looking down at Luffy. "Huh?" He leaned back to look up at her, putting a hand on his hat to keep it from falling off his head. "Your soul mark. I don't see it." She frowned. She'd never seen someone without a band of color on their wrist before, and it was kind of unnerving to her.
"Yeah, I was wondering that too," Zoro chipped in, turning his wrist so his indicators were visible. "Is it someplace weird?"
"Nah," Luffy shook his head. "Never had one."
Nami blinked a few times, then rubbed at her ear with the heel of her palm.
"You what?"
"Never had one," Luffy shrugged. "Don't know why. Don't care."
"Huh,"
Zoro said, leaning back against the mast of Luffy's tiny boat.
"Huh,"
Nami echoed, looking down at the stripe of brilliant blue on her own wrist.
"Does Luffy really not have a soul mark?"
Usopp asked her as they watched oil drip down the slope. Nami shrugged and gave the barrel a nudge to start covering the next inch or so.
"I've only known him for a few days."
"Well, that's more than me," the long-nosed liar huffed.
"He said he doesn't care," Nami said, a frown working its way onto her face.
"No," Usopp gasped, his tone absolutely scandalized, or maybe disbelieving, but Nami preferred the idea that he was scandalized.
"I know," she groaned, slumping over the barrel slightly. "He must have his soul mark somewhere weird and not like talking about it."
"Oh, no." Usopp looked over his shoulder at the straw-hatted idiot under a nearby tree. "He doesn't seem like he gets embarrassed about much."
"What if it's somewhere really weird?" Nami grinned. "Or the symbol is something really bad."
She drew a quick breath, and a giggle slipped out as a possibility flashed through her head.
"What? What if his soulmate is a marine?"
Usopp spluttered with laughter, and they fired increasingly improbable possibilities back and forth in hushed tones as they finished rolling the barrel.
"Nami!" Sanji beamed. "How's your shoulder?"
"It's fine." She waved her hand dismissively and accepted the drink Sanji offered.
"I can't believe you actually joined." "Luffy's pretty uniquely persuasive," the blonde said with a wry smile.
"And it's not like I could have accomplished my goals just staying at that shitty restaurant for the rest of my life." Nami hid a smile in her drink. Luffy certainly seemed to have a knack for swaying people to join his crew. Gods knew she'd wanted to join them by the time they reached Gecko Island.
"You've been on the crew for a few weeks, right?"
"Something like that. Why?" Sanji looked out into the crowd, where Luffy and Usopp were doing some absolutely stupid dance involving chopsticks and empty plates.
"Does he really not have a soul mark?"
Nami smirked and took another sip of her drink.
"Well, he says he doesn't. But Usopp and I have some theories."
"Really?" Sanji didn't hide the smile on his face. Dopey and saccharine. "They're all pretty silly, honestly." She waved her hand dismissively. "Hairless soulmate, marine soulmate, stuff like that."
"Don't be like that, Nami. Any theories you come up with are perfectly wonderful for sure."
She snorted and took a long swig of her drink.
"You're a weirdo." "If you say so, heart."
Nami? Nami looked over at the latest addition to their little crew, and her heart jumped in her chest again. A smile slipped across her face, and she patted the railing next to where she was leaning. Her soulmate came to lean next to her, looking out across the waves under a mostly cloudy sky. Her soulmate, the princess. That would take some getting used to. "What is it, Vivi?"
It's about Luffy," she said after a moment.
Nami sighed and let her head drop,
This was going to end up being her job, wasn't it? Telling new members of their Nakama about the captain's bizarre lack of a soul mark.
His soul mark?
Yeah. Vivi nodded. Nami shrugged and kept her eyes fixed on the waves.
Far as any of us can tell, he doesn't have one.
Like, at all?
None at all,
Nami sighed. When I asked, he said he doesn't even care. Luffy can't lie with shit, so he must have meant it.
Wow, I can't imagine not having this.
Vivi wrapped a hand around her soul mark and rubbed the brilliant orange skin.
Same.
Nami ran a hand over the stripe of blue, which had decorated her wrist since birth.
I might never have kissed you otherwise.
And that would have been a damn shame. Vivi chuckled, leaning in to press her lips to Nami's cheek.
Oh, come on.
Nami grinned, turning to face her soulmate and looping her arms behind the small of Vivi's back. I know you can do better than that.
Is that a challenge?
Vivi whispered, leaning in until their lips almost touched.
If you want it to be.
Hey, Chopper. The little reindeer looked up from his game of cards with Usopp and Luffy, and Nami waved him over.
Yeah?
Is there anything weird about Luffy's skin, aside from the fact that it's rubber? She asked, shifting the fishing rod in her hands so she wouldn't lose it to the ocean if she got a bite while talking to their doctor.
Not that I noticed, no, he said with a small frown.
Why?
Oh, nothing,
she waved her hand dismissively. Just curious. You can go back to your game.
The captain is quite an oddity, isn't he?
Nami startled and nearly dripped ink on her half-finished map of Alabasta.
Robin!
She lowered her pen, a smile crossing her face, before she sighed and looked at her desk.
Oddity is one word for it.
I've never seen someone without a soul mark before.
The older woman mused, sounding for all the world like she was talking about something which had no immediate bearing on their lives.
Me neither, but Luffy's...
She drew a breath and let it out in a long sigh.
He's Luffy.
That he is.
Robin smiled, like there was some joke only she understood. And Nami went back to working on her map as their newest crewmate picked up a book and settled in to start reading.
Zoro Bro told me to ask you about Luffy's wrists,
Frankie said, and Nami should have dumped her drink on him. But Sanji had evidently rubbed off on her a bit during their months of sailing together, because she just glared at the cyborg shipwright.
Right now?
She asked pointedly, jerking her head to indicate the party going on around them.
Well...
Nami sighed and slammed the rest of her drink so she could set the cup down and not worry about someone else snagging it. Of course it was her actual job now. Explainer of Luffy's weirdness.
I'm gonna punch that idiot swordsman, she grumbled.
So not now?
Luffy doesn't have a soul mark, and that's that,
she huffed, crossing her arms.
Got a problem with it?
Her tone was sharper than she'd intended. And Nami almost wished she had her climatact on hand.
Nah, Frankie offered with an easy smile. Just curious.
He lifted his right hand and tapped his wrist, which was bare of any sort of mark.
Never painted mine back on, and I wondered if your captain had had his cut out or something.
Huh.
Nami blinked a few times, then shrugged.
You'd have to ask Chopper, but I think he's never had a soul mark. He's Luffy. He's weird like that.
What an odd soulmate you must have.
Nami lifted her head from updating the logbook at Brooke's words and turned to look at their new musician where he was examining Luffy's wrists.
I don't,
Luffy said, blunt as ever.
Hmm?
I don't have a soulmate. Don't need one either,
Luffy grinned.
I've got my Nakama and my dream. Don't need anything else.
Well then. Brooke's skull seemed to grin, despite the fact that all his teeth were already showing. and he picked up his violin from the deck. A song for new adventures. Nami smiled and made a note in the margins that Brook seemed to understand Luffy's weirdness just fine. Nami almost sighed when she saw Trafalgar Law's eyes fix on Luffy's blank wrists over breakfast. Their ally might draw his own conclusions, but at this point it was basically her second job on the ship to fill people in about her captain's odd lack of a soulmate, and she didn't want him to think something was wrong when she could set him straight so easily. "Hey, Toro!" she called after the table had been cleared, and Luffy was out on deck again pestering Caesar Clown with Usopp. The surgeon of death turned, and she gestured for him to follow her up into the kitchen top garden. "What is it, Namiya?" he asked, standing awkwardly on the grass. "You were looking at Luffy's wrists all through breakfast," she said bluntly. "Why?" Trafalgar looked down, and it seemed to be an unconscious action when he gripped his right wrist. An unconscious action, but a very familiar one. Nami's eyes widened, and she gripped her own soul mark. "No." Trafalgar pushed his sleeves up, coat and shirt both, and Nami could clearly see the Jolly Roger emblazoned on the underside of his wrist in the middle of a jet black stripe, right next to the profile of a very familiar hat. "Damn," she breathed. "I didn't know that was possible." "I got a good look after Marineford, but he was covered in so much blood." Nami sucked in a breath between her teeth and stamped down the irrational anger which threatened to spill out in the form of some cutting remark about Trafalgar's worthiness of dating her captain. "Thank you," she said instead, keeping her voice low and quiet. "We couldn't be there for him, but..." She exhaled slowly and gave Trafalgar a smile. "Thank you for making sure he could come back to us." "And what sort of doctor would I be if I let my own soulmate die?" And there it was again, the thing that had led them to this conversation in the first place. "Luffy doesn't have a soulmate," Nami said, holding her tongue on. "And if he did, he wouldn't let it be someone like you." It was the first time she'd said it so bluntly, and the words seemed to make Trafalgar curl in on himself ever so slightly. "Of course." Nami opened her mouth, but none of the words which came to mind seemed right, so she settled for clapping a hand on Trafalgar's shoulder as she passed on her way to the hatch into the kitchen. Soul mark be damned. If Trafalgar Law wanted to court Luffy, he'd have to go through the entire Straw Hat crew to do it. Nami warded off Luffy's reaching hand automatically and had the targeted sausage link halfway to her mouth before the discrepancy registered. "Luffy, what happened to your wrist?" she asked, and the table fell silent as every eye turned to their captain, now sporting a multicolored band around his right wrist. "Huh?" Luffy mumbled through a mouthful of meat, looking at his wrist, at what could only be a soul mark, but couldn't be because Luffy didn't have a soul mark. "Whoa, that's a lot of colors," Usopp exclaimed. Luffy swallowed his food and smiled wider than was physically possible for non-rubber faces. "One for each of you," he held up his hand, displaying the symbol on the underside of his wrist. And Nami sighed as Sanji and Zoro started bickering about what it meant that their bands of color on Luffy's wrist were right next to each other. If her captain had been in possession of any sort of artistic capability, she would have suspected him of drawing it on himself. But Luffy could barely draw one straight line, let alone 10 with a crowned Jolly Roger in the middle. Robin patted her on the shoulder with a disembodied arm, the wrist sporting a solid band of Frankie's near neon blue, and Nami gave her bunkmate a small smile. If anyone could have 10 soulmates, of course it'd be Luffy. He was the Pirate King. Not even the universe itself could tell him what to do. The end. We call. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening! Author's notes. Since it seems to have been a cause of much confusion, I'll explain it here. Luffy's 10 stripes are for the 10 nakama he will eventually have. In Chapter 1, he said he would have 10 people on his crew, and since his soul mark doesn't appear until after he becomes Pirate King, they're all with him by that time. For those curious, the two marks on Marco's arms are crossed bones and flames. The crossed bones are visible on all of them, the flames only on about half.